here's the thing that took place. As I walked through that crowd, and they parted for me, the heat was so intense from standing out there all day long, packed together as tight as they could, just for about 2,400 of them to get in. I couldn't believe it. Why would people wait? I asked them, I said, what do you do about food? I said, well, we don't eat. What do you do about restrooms? We don't use the restroom. If we are going to get in, and we want to get in because we have tickets, and we know if we're going to get a Bible, when this is over, we got to have tickets. Well, we got to go without food and without going to the bathroom from about 8 in the morning till it opens at 7 at night, and hopefully you'll get in on session number one. Just like it is in America. It's incredible, isn't it? And I remember on that last night as the people were coming in and they would get their ticket. And I would see, I mean, they would be dripping with sweat. Every ounce of fabric on them would be wet with sweat. And I'd watch them as we'd ask them to produce the ticket. And their hands would shake. They'd dig into their purse or into their dress and they'd pull out a ticket that was soaked. Their hands would shake because they didn't know, is that going to be sufficient proof to get a Bible? You hand them a Bible, their whole face would be. They try to give you some gift. Is it worth it? I go back in a minute. When it was over, there would be people that would come and sing to it. There would be people that would come. A group of handicapped people took up a collection and brought in flowers and displayed them all over the stage and all over the podium. They had special permission that they could come and not wait in line because they were crippled. Because they want a Bible. The group that's going to be doing the follow-up, we announced a follow-up Bible study for them. They checked us out. They wanted to know, are we sound? Here's what they do. They break bread every week. The women wear coverings on their heads. They wanted to check me out on the gospel. They asked me about 15 minutes of questions to make sure that the gospel I was going to preach agreed with the Bible. Isn't that a thrill? They were underground for a number of years, and now they're meeting openly. I'll tell you what a joy it is to watch them. I think particularly of some that made friends. I think of one named Mike that some made a friend with, and before several days were done, this man came to Christ. I think of an English teacher who came really to get a Bible. And as she sat in there, I remember she came one night, she came both sessions. I said, how did you get in both sessions? She says, well, she says, there's a way to get in here. Mm-hmm. I said, well, tell me. She says, oh, no. She says, there's only four or five of us that get in that way. But she said, I wanted to come back because she says, I listened in English and then I listened in Russian. She says, I may have been confused. I said, what do you mean? She says, all my life, she said, I've been trying to get to heaven, but she says, I thought God weighed my works. She said, I didn't know the story about Jesus. I thought God weighed my works. And she said, for all these years, she said, I've been a secret believer of God, but she said, no one told me about Jesus. And so she said, I wanted to listen because you said that it didn't matter what I worked. It just mattered about Jesus' works. And she said, I had to see if that's really what you said, so I came the second time. What a joy to give her a Russian-English Bible. And what a joy for her to circle John 3:36, the verse that we were reading when she came to Christ. Is it worth it? I think it is. And we met a man. You'll see a picture of him in a few minutes. He was an old codger. He's one of my favorite guys. He had some black tape over this side, but he spoke good English. And he had some questions for him. He's not a believer. When I left, he was not a believer then. I pray he is now. But he said, my desire since I was 15 years old, he said, was to speak good English. He said, my teacher was a TV and a tape recorder. And he said, I can read English. He said, I want an English Bible. I want an English Bible. And I said, I'll tell you what, if you'll meet me here tomorrow at 10 o'clock, I'll give you a Russian English Bible. He said, I'll be here. Well, I happened to be on a bus that was about 20 minutes late. That's not unusual in Russia. And he was there, waiting. And he asked him, and he says, where is he? And they say, well, he'll be here. Just, you know what? He slept there all night. He slept out in front of the cultural center because he wasn't going to take a chance on missing his Bible. And when I gave him the Bible, you'll see, as we present him a Bible, I said, now read it to me. He says, I can read with no hesitation. Oh, man, I like this guy. He put on his special reading glasses, and so then he read several verses to me, and then I said, here's your Bible. He says, I bow low to you. He says, I bow low to you. And tears begin to come down that old man's eyes. And I say, is it worth it? I said, with 100 years from now, it won't matter whether it's stick or below, but one soul in heaven, or it'll matter. 260 people go to a follow-up meeting. Over 100 of them desire to be baptized the first week after the crusade. Is that worth it? I think it is. When we were in Perm, I'd like to tell you 1,000 more stories. We got to go to the hospitals. We got to go to the orphanages. We got to go to a detention center. Not me, but some of the people here. Coach Smith went and spoke, and Brad went and spoke, and these kids are into music, and so Brad got to talk to them about music, and Gary told them about sports, and then Valeria, we don't know what Valeria said. But these kids were, I think, were they, what, 8 to 16 years old, or something like that. And they were said they were here for every possible crime you can imagine. Can you imagine the joy of being able to preach to them 3 times, 3 different people telling them how God forgives sin? Salvation comes by faith in Christ. I tell you, I honestly believe at this moment there are people in that penitentiary that came to Christ. One of the incredible things, not only did the mayor send a note to us saying, close down the crusade, we can't have any more, but on one of the nights we got this. The Orthodox Church has written a letter to the director saying that they will harm him and his family if he continues to have meetings. I mean, this is why we're getting ready to start session number 2. This letter comes. The letter has been given to the police. He's afraid, but not willing to stop the meetings, continue preaching. See, I know who the law is aimed at. Because you see, the gospel of the Bible is very different than the gospel of the Orthodox Church. And that church is sending hundreds of people every day to hell. Because they say you're saved by paying some kind of money for those that die. My dear friend, Christ died so that we might have eternal life. And then from Perm, well, we took a train ride. Now we got the fancy deluxe one. Those of you on there don't believe that for a minute, but we had sleeping cars and it's pretty neat. 4 people sleep in a room, and I was lucky I had Karen in my room, and so she made up our beds and we were riding high in the saddle. And we boarded the train at 2 a.m. It's only a 17-hour train ride. And, of course, we were hyper. I mean, the whole trip we were hyper. And the great thing was that we'd start throwing literature and New Testaments. This sounds sacrilegious, I know. But we throw New Testaments and tracts out the window. But, you know, after a few hours, you get so good at that you just know how hard to fling this, and you can hit just about anything. And so we come into a little road. Our little path, you see a little path going right into the woods. And you know people have to be there. And I mean all of a sudden, and boy, right there on that path, there would be a couple New Testaments and a whole array of tracts. And they really got good at it. My favorite one was Coach Smith. And I was watching, you know, and I mean he really got into this. He was rubber banding these things and he'd throw them. And he had one with a rubber band snapped, and I mean that the pages of that illustrated Bible flapped in every direction. And I thought, man, he is going to be discouraged because that thing just fluttered like that, and it caught in a tree. And he says, perfect! I said, no, I said, that landed in the tree. He said, that's what I mean. He said, that was a perfect shot. I said, no. I said, Gary, look, it's in the tree. See the page? He said, no. He said, that's just like a flag. He said, the first guy down the road will get that. He said, that was a perfect shot. I thought, you know, that probably was a perfect shot. I mean, that's just the way, if the Lord could use us, then he could probably use a Bible stuck in a tree, flapping its pages. The best one was Gary. So he rolled up a Bible, put a couple tracks in there, rubber banded, and we were going by this village, and I'm not kidding, there's a guy on the porch, and he's sitting there with his leg crossed smoking. And Gary takes that thing, and he flings it out there, and it hits the grass, and it slides right across the grass. I mean, it just looks like a jipper belt, right across the grass, and it stops right by this guy, and he doesn't even know it's there. And Gary said, look at that. He said, this guy's never seen a Bible. He'd say, when he turns around and puts out that cigarette, there will be a Bible. He said, I'll bet you he'll be saved by morning. I mean, it's just, you know, and the reason I say that is because last year someone gave out one of those little Malinky Bibles, little teeny Bibles, and the family came to Christ, asked for a big Bible, and right now there's a little local church started with that family that got saved reading a little Bible with 27 verses. You don't think God is powerful? So I'll tell you what, we thrilled in every track. By morning, I mean, these guys were so good. I went down to the, we had three cars, one for luggage and literature, the other that we slept in. They got so good that you'd see a person standing there waiting for the train to go by, and I'd watch this guy. I mean, he'd get hit with a rainbow track. I mean, there it was. Well, I honestly think the Lord will use that. The train would stop for 5 minutes. You cannot believe how much literature we can unload out of a train in 5 minutes. I mean, it's marvelous, isn't it? Oh, boy, I'll tell you, 100 years from now, it won't matter whether we make stick or bone. But you know what will matter? Some of these little cities that we went through on that train, that 17 hours across there, you know what? They'll never have a missionary go there. But they have tracts and Bibles and New Testaments. But it's real to be a part of that. Well, there's more stories to tell you. We went to another city. It's called Sataif. That city captured my thoughts just to this very hour. We lived close to Sataif when we lived in Lushnoia. By the way, in Lushnoia, they invited us to do a message. 300 people were living in the other hotel. They all came. 50 stayed. The very first day we were there, 50 people stayed behind to ask questions about salvation. We got to show the Jesus film. Again, an incredible response. The director wants to know what we believe and invited us to a special dinner. So we went back to the time because these people, only 120,000 in the city. And we were in Perm, and so we didn't have any way really to let them know. So we printed up some handbills, and we gave those handbills out, and we went back. We ate at the only restaurant in the city. You're shuddering. It's not fair to call it a restaurant. I don't know what it's fair to call it. You can smell the bathroom from outside. Well, it was scary. I told someone Wednesday night that the people in Tennessee, there's about 30 from Tennessee that went in, and they were supposed to, I think, select 5 slides and bring them. And they were, someone called me and they were laughing. They said, you know, out of the 5 slides, each of us selected 2 bathroom scenes. So you know what stood out in our mind. Well, anyway, at Little Tataif, we were there. Now, this is the city that earlier that said, look, we know that you're going for crusades in Rabinsk and in Yaroslav. Why don't you say something to us? Good point. So we said, okay, I'll tell you what. Thursday morning we'll be there. Well, we were supposed to be there about 2 hours, and what was supposed to be 2 hours turned out to be about 5 or 6 hours. Finally, we had to say, look, we're going to give a signal. Everyone's got to run for the bus, because if we don't get on the bus, we'll never get to the crusade in Yaroslav in time. But we had it in our hearts to come back. And so the first night in Perm, not very many people knew about it. In the first session, we had about 150 young people, mostly kids. It's the first time in my life I preached, and the entire time I preached, there was a young man who was giving obscene gestures the entire message. It's all right. The Lord saves people like that. You know that? He saved the Apostle Paul, and he saved Rob Lindstedt. He didn't save that kid. I remember Morris. Decided that his place in that auditorium would be right on the front row with those guys. In the next session, we didn't know if anyone would show up. Matter of fact, we were going back to change clothes, and I came out and said, there's 3 people that showed up, and some of them have traveled several hours to get here, and so they want to know if you just come out. And I said, sure, I'll come out and just visit with them and give them the books. And before long, several more started coming in, and before long, we had about 25 or 30 there, and so we decided, let's just go ahead and preach. I'll tell you, it was an incredible time. As a matter of fact, if I were to pick out one meeting that stood out in my mind the entire summer, it would probably be the second session of the first night. It was about 25 or 30 people, because as best I know, maybe all 25 or 30 professed to receive Christ. Is it worth it? I think it is. And so, of course, we told people, well, we'll be back tomorrow night, and we could have decided, now, you know, what's 150 people after we got a chance to preach to 6 or 7,000? But we decided, you know, maybe the Lord will save one of those Henri's kids. So we went back, and when the bus pulled up, I mean, you cannot believe the flood of kids that came running toward the bus. We pulled around the side and we went in. 650 kids in there and three dogs. Can't forget the three dogs. I'll tell you why. One dog sat on the seat as good as any kid. Really. Another dog was dressed in a bonnet. And the other dog made laps around the stage. It's the first time I've ever preached with a dog. And the dog did pretty good. At least we could never catch him. And in those sessions, there were some people that stand in my line. For example, there was a man by the name of Valeri. And as I was talking to him, he said, I've got to make a decision. And he began to tell me the quandary that he was in. And when he left that first night, this man was in complete, total depression because of the sin that he was in. I promised that night when I went back, I would pray specifically for his salvation. Valeri, our interpreter, talked to another man. And what a joy on the second night to have both of these men come back, independent of one another, and tell us that during the night they come to Christ, reading tracts and booklets that were given to them. Is it worth it? There was another man that came. He was one of the chiefs at the motor company. There's a motor company that many of these people are employed there. And this man was not a believer, but he sat through both of the sessions. And he took a copy of the literature. He went back to where he worked. He has about 100 families that he's responsible for. He lives on the other side of the river of Tupai. And he said, you're only telling people on this side of the river about the meeting. He says, more of us live on the other side. He said, if you'll come, he said, I will go with you and we'll go all over to Tupai and we'll tell them to come. And he took a sample. He went and he told every one of his 100 employees about the meetings and brought them. Many of them, not all of them, many of them the next night. Again, another time was in the second session. I remember we said, okay, kids, you can't come into the second session unless you're with a parrot. I mean, we had to get some beef. That's the closest to a zoo I've ever been at in my life, in a meeting. And we only had about 150 for that second session. But I remember when it was over, we again asked for questions, and a lady came up and she says, well, Why can't we start a church here? I said, well, you know, that would be fine. But, you know, we could probably do a Bible study. But she said, yeah, but why can't we have a church here and where we study the Bible? I said, well, you know, we need for some people to get saved. And she says, well, how about the people tonight? I said, well, yeah, but, you know, some just heard it for the first time. She says, well, I just heard it for the first time. And, I mean, I cannot convince this lady that not all 150 people that were there got saved. And she thinks there's no reason why we can't start a church and begin meeting tomorrow night. Don't you love that kind of optimism? I do. I'll tell you, when I look at that city and I think of those 650 kids, and by the way, I think there's about 5,000 or 6,000 more. Can you imagine starting an Awana program in that city? Oh boy, I have a desire for that. But our time is gone, and so I must close. While we were there, we watched the value of money change. We watched them say, unless the rubles are printed in 1993, were they no good? So all the money that these people have, except for they trade $35, that's it, that's the limit. It's no good. Can you imagine making those kind of laws? Well, they do. Some of you know that I went through customs on one of my trips back, and in there I had an address of the Russian family in Siberia. I was going to send them a Bible study, and I happened to stick it in a folder that I had some money. So when they took that folder or that envelope with money, they said, okay, why is this name in this envelope? I said, well, they gave me this address just as I was leaving, and I just happened to stick it in this envelope with the money. And he said, no, he thought for sure it was some kind of a business I was doing with him. I said, no, look, it's just an address. I said, I can't pronounce the name. I just know they live in Siberia. And then they began searching my briefcase, and they said, do you have any other foreign money? I said, well, no. I found an envelope and it had money for Greece. I said, well, I can explain that. Look, tonight we're going to be spending the night in Greece and I want enough money for taxi cabs. And so they continued looking through my briefcase and now they found that envelope that I keep a sample of all the foreign money for the Deutsche Fox. And he spreads it out. He says, all right, what's this? And I said, well, look, I'm a preacher and these are examples of how in the last days, I said, Valeri, you got to get over here. And things did not go well. To make a long story short, things did not go well. Before I was done, they relieved me of $2,400. Now it made me mad, to be honest. Especially it made me mad because the man who was behind me when in Turkey, he finally talked to me, and he says, you're a missionary, aren't you? I said, what kind of? He said, I know you are, because he said, I heard them speaking. He said, I'm a missionary also. And he said, I work with Muslims. I'm a missionary in Turkey, but he said, I know Russian, so I was in Russia doing some literature distribution. And he said, I heard them talking about it, that you were a missionary, and that's how come they knew you had money. And this man watched me load over 100 people on the plane and send them off, and then figuring I probably would carry the money. He stole $2,400, but that's all right. You know what the Bible says? Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. That can be theirs. But render to God the things that are God's. You know what? I'd rather have the souls of those people than that $2,400. Because 100 years from now, you know what? I won't even miss the $2,400. But if one soul would come to Christ, oh, wouldn't it be worth it? Is this our last opportunity? As they begin making laws, and I was going to read you the law and show you how that it might affect us. Is this our last opportunity? I tell you what, I really believe before long, foreign missionaries will be excluded from Russia. And I can't blame them. Every coup and every cult is there. I can't blame them. But in the meantime, I'd like to take in more Bibles. I'd like to take in more tracts. I'd like to take in more 2-week and 1-month missionaries. Because wouldn't it be a thrill if we could see additional people come to Christ? I really believe that we're living in the last days. I really believe that Jesus is coming soon. And in the meantime, wouldn't it be fun to bring all the people we could to Christ? I don't care if it's Russia or you watch what happens if Cuba opens up, folks. You think I'm crazy printing Russian Bibles? Wait till you see what we print in Spanish. I'm going to be on the first boat going over there to see Mr. Castro. Again, I want to close this morning. There's other stories I could tell you. And then I want to show you, I'm not kidding myself, I've only got 10 slides. I'm not even going to talk very long. I want to show you my old friend that said I bow low to you. I want to show you a crowd scene or two. And then I think that Brad gave me a shout from the detention center. But I want to close with this poem called My Friend. Some of you have heard it before. But it's entitled My Friend. It goes like this. My friend, I stand in judgment now. And feel that you're to blame somehow. On earth I walk with you by day. Never did you point the way. You knew the Lord in truth and glory, but never did you tell the story. My knowledge then was very dim. You could have led me safe to him. Though we lived together here on earth, you never told me of the second birth. And now I stand this day condemned because you failed to mention him. You taught me many things that's true. I called you friend and trusted you. But I learn now that it's too late, and you could have kept me from this faith. We walk by day and talk by night, and yet you show me not the light. You let me live and love and die. You knew I'd never live on high. Yes, I called you friend in life and trusted you through joy and strife. And yet I'm coming to this dreadful end. I cannot now call you my friend. How many of your neighbors will rise up in the coming day and say, was I your neighbor? Then you should have helped me because I was spiritually dead. But I think we're like the religious man, and I think we're like the social man. We're so busy with our little comfort, we don't even have time to give the gospel to a person next to us, do we? Who is your neighbor? Well, I'll tell you who they are. There are people all over this world. You want to know why? For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. And you know what? I think I have more brothers and sisters in Christ in Russia than I do in America. And I could hardly wait to get to heaven and see how many of them speak Russian. Oh, it's going to be a thrill. What a joy. What a joy to be involved in the Lord's work. You can too. Well, some of you can't go. I understand that. But others can. And those that can't go, you can pray. Can't we? And think of the literature that we can send. May God help each of us to see what kind of a good Samaritan we can be. Because you know what? 100 years from now, it won't matter what kind of a house we lived in, Lord. But it will matter about one soul. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you today for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the love of Christ that ever drew salvation's plan, that brought him down to this cruel earth where people hated him and despised him. And yet, Father, he died for our sins. And Father, we thank you that at this moment the gospel is still available in Russia. And Father, we pray for those that are there. We pray for the Livings and the Beverlys and the Fredericks. Father, we pray that, we'll see a harvest of souls. We pray for those interpreters that, know what it is to be persecuted because of, their faith in Christ. Father, we pray for Alexander and, for those people that are carrying on the, radio broadcast. May you bless them and use them greatly, we pray. Father, help us to be involved in the work of the gospel, whether in Russia, America, Cuba, or, any other place. Father, may we run quickly to tell them that Jesus died for their sins and he's coming again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.